Yes, indeed, the conversation is well and truly afoot. You know, Andrew Waite spent about 3 hours workshopping that, and some other ones were, let's hand it over to a couple of real heels. Believe me, there was a long discussion about this, and Andrew, you did just fine. Today, it's Medical Monday. Today, it's podiatry with our friend, Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. He is a grad of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, and he is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Ask the Foot Doctor. He's been in the Hudson Valley practicing the foot thing for 35 years or more. He is a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. To be a part of the conversation, give us a call, for the conversation is afoot. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman, can you take such brilliant writing? Can you just take it?
He could be your arch enemy. I don't
know. Oh, no, no. I think Andrew had the interns working double shifts on this one. So anyway, what's going on, man? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and everyone out there. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Upcoming.
Yeah, it's exciting. Another year. You know, the holidays are a time for overeating and guzzling beverages. And you were saying in the break here before the show started that gout is a real issue at this time of year.
I've been seeing a lot of emergency gout patients.
What
is
gout again?
It's a very painful condition. Gout is something that is related to a product in your blood called uric acid.
Uh-huh.
And if uric acid gets too elevated, it will crystallize and will spill into your foot mostly. It can be other places. Mostly it's the big toe joint around the foot, and it becomes red, hot, swollen,
oh,
extremely painful, hard to put a shoe on. Usually it's very swollen, very red. And it happens usually overnight. You wake up with all of a sudden a red-hot swollen foot. Often gets misdiagnosed, sometimes infection, sometimes arthritis. But I've been seeing a lot of that, and we treat them with immediate care because it's so painful. We give a cortisone injection. We put them on medication. And holiday times is exactly the right. Alcohol is a big reason why people get gout.
Ah.
Also other things, such as people have shrimp. We talked about shrimp.
Shrimp will do it.
Shellfish.
Really?
Shellfish and things with high fructose corn syrup. Eggnog, for example, and alcohol.
A patient
recently today had eggnog and bourbon and came in with a gout attack.
Really?
And she also had some shrimp on Christmas.
Wow. And so this ultimately, though, this is not, like, you can treat the symptoms, but this is not a podiatry thing, right?
Oh, it is actually, because it affects the foot more than any other part. So there are medications. We'll check the uric acid levels. If it's elevated, we'll either ourselves or with their primary care doctor put them on short or long-term medications to lower the uric acid level or keep it in check. But yeah, podiatrists see gout as much as anybody.
And then we were talking about chilblains, which to me, I remember my grandmother saying it, but I have no idea what it is.
Chilblains, if you live in the Northeast, you're going to see chilblains if you're in the emergency room or in a podiatry office. Chilblains often can be called Raynaud's phenomenon. So in my office, almost on a daily, we had a really cold December. So chilblains is a vasospasm. What does that mean? Every blood vessel is lined with muscles along the vessel walls.
Okay.
And you know, if it gets cold, you shrug your shoulders.
Yeah.
When it gets cold, the little muscles inside your blood vessels, the tiniest ones in the toes, they close up a little bit and it limits the circulation to the point where your toes get very white, cold, purple,
wow,
and become very painful.
Ouch.
So it can be something that's often misdiagnosed. People think it's an infection or people think it's, you know, gangrene. So it's very common. You got to keep the feet warm, and we do things to prevent it. It's a lot of prevention and precaution, but all the time we're seeing chilblains in the office and teaching people how to keep their feet warm and do things to prevent it from coming back.
Are some people more predisposed to get that?
Yeah, hereditary reasons, for sure, as well as the gout. Both can be hereditary predisposition.
Our guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's handle a couple of corn questions, shall we? This is from Jay. I wear the widest wide shoe that Altra, Topo, and Lems make, but I still have a persistent corn on my left little toe. I've tried corn removers. What can I do? Is surgery an option?
Yes, it is. So let's go backwards for a second. First of all, you've done some good research. Altra and Topo are two of the wide forefoot shoes. They call them original foot shape. So it allows more room for the toes. And
what do you mean original foot shape?
Well, that's the term that Altra, the shoe company, uses.
Original, what meaning original, what?
What happens with shoes is they kind of, if you think about the pointiness to the toes, and that's not how the foot is shaped. So the foot is shaped more wide in the forefoot, with whether it be hammer toes or bunions or Taylor bunions. So they give more room. It's a more rounder fit in the front of the foot. So he's doing a good job, Richard, on getting the appropriate shoes. But if it's not helping, the little toe has, as do other toes, has three bones in it. And sometimes the toe is a little bit malaligned, so it sticks out. So no matter what, it's rubbing on the shoe and it's causing this corn. But the underlying cause is the bone. So you can put the corn pads on. They don't fix the underlying deformity.
Yeah.
So in our office, we would do a procedure called an arthroplasty of the fifth toe. What is that? It's a removal of a small segment of the one of those three bones that rubs on the shoe, and is a very easy procedure to do. In many cases, an office environment. Takes 2 weeks with stitches, and you know there's no broken bones or anything. We're just removing a small wedge of bone, and it works beautifully. There's very little recurrence rate, and if somebody's a candidate, it's a nice thing that he should look into.
All right, now what's a corn remover?
Corn remover is a salicylic acid medication, so they make it in these little plasters, which I always advised against.
Why?
Especially for diabetics or people with poor circulation. It'll eat into the skin.
Ah. It's
supposed to eat the corn, but it doesn't really know corn from good skin.
Uh-huh.
So unfortunately, we'll see complications where people will get a wound or an ulcer or an infection on occasion. So we've always advised against that.
All right. This question from Nick, and this is also about corns and specifically arthroplasty, I guess. Nick says, this will be my third winter of having my podiatrist basically slicing the corner of my pinky toe off. What are the pros and cons of having the bone shaved?
So there's different things you can do for that small toe, if we're talking about the any toe in particular. On the fifth toe, you can file the bone down, or you can remove a little piece of it. And it depends upon where it is. If it's up by the nail, we'll kind of shave a teeny little piece off, kind of like with a dental burr or a dental drill. If it's a large bone that's really protruding, we prefer to do the arthroplasty.
Yeah.
We're removing a wedge. Less chance of recurrence with that. With the small toe, it doesn't have the function that you would with the big toe. So it's not really a big deal. Long term, there aren't a lot of complications. Mm-hmm. The procedure works really well. They both work really well. You should let your podiatrist, you know, do his magic and
okay.
fix your toe.
But what, 3 years in a row, though?
Well, he's probably not having surgery. He's probably having
a little shaving.
A little shaving of the corn or callus there.
So Nick goes on. I think the corn, it's a Lister's corn, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, between the toes.
Having a deeper effect on my leg and causing a cramped Charlie horse feeling in the hamstring and shins, knee pain. Is that common?
Depends how you're walking. If you're changing your gait pattern, it can be common. So if you're walking funny, you're favoring your foot, it can be. You have to watch out for other things, circulation, make sure that's okay, and other things aren't causing the spasms in the area.
Number here is 800-348-2551. And we'll get to your calls right after the break here, but a couple of more emails before then. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today. And this one's from Rick. I've been told I may have plantar fibroma. It's like really callous tissue on my arch and around the bottom of my foot. It's starting to become painful. Is this something that can be operated on, or will it just produce more scar tissue?
Good question, Rick. So we try to avoid operating on plantar fibromas. Let me go back and explain what a fibroma
yes.
is. It's along the arch ligament. It's basically scar tissue that forms. They can be small, P-shaped and sized, or they can be, I've seen them as large as golf balls in the bottom of the foot.
Wow.
Very hard to walk on, but if possible, we advise people to live with them if they're not painful. If they're painful, there are a few things you can do. We can do a corticosteroid injection to try to shrink it. We can do cryosurgery where we freeze it. We can make orthotics to try to offload it by putting something in the shoe to take the pressure off of it. So in general, if it's painful, you might need some treatment. But the challenge with fibroma is they have a very high recurrence rate.
Yeah.
And the scar tissue does tend to come back. So it is a tricky procedure, plus it's on the bottom of the foot. So it's an extended period of non-walking. So always recommend conservative care unless it's not, if it doesn't work, then you may have to have a surgical procedure.
It's Podiatry Today with Dr. Douglas Tooman. I got to jump back. You mentioned this original shoe. Okay, whatever they called it, the original design. First of all, why, if that's the ultimate thing that keeps your feet healthy and happy and not hurting, has the state-of-the-art shoe design evolved into something that is not as good?
Have you ever asked your wife why she doesn't wear clown shoes?
It's clown shoes, is it? No, but she's asked me why I don't wear clown shoes. Let me tell you that.
So they're a little wider. Women like fashion. And most fashion designers are men who make those shoes to make their women's legs look a little more attractive.
Right.
So over time, we have an idea of what sexiness is and what the women's body or someone should look like.
Yeah.
So it's very hard. But after COVID, people are wearing more, you know, comfortable shoes.
But if everyone wore those, mm-hmm. these original whatever.
Foot shape,
yeah. Foot shape. Would you be out of business?
I wouldn't be out of business. People would have happier feet.
Okay.
They still could have lots of things.
They'd come
to
in
treat.
For more minor things.
Right.
All right, let's take a break. Dr. Douglas Tooman's our guest. We'll get to the phones on the other side. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Back in a flash. Tony Levin there, and Pete Levin as well, the Levin Brothers. Special delivery here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. It's Medical Monday. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us from Hudson Valley Foot Associates. And let's see. Let's jump to the phones. We'll go to New Paltz, and it's David. David, you're first. Go ahead.
Dr. Tooman, I have edema, I think, in my feet and both feet now. It started with the left foot, but now it's gone to both feet, and it's coming up the calf where I can, you know, press in, and it leaves an indention, a dent in, and it seems like there's a water accumulation, and gout has been ruled out, and I'm taking Losartan potassium for high blood pressure and Tamsulosin for an enlarged prostate. Could those drugs be affecting that?
Not necessarily, and that's more questions for your cardiologist and primary care physician. However, the pitting edema, that's when you push it in and it indents a little bit. It's called pitting edema. And the bilateral symmetry of the swelling that you have there, the edema, indicates that you're retaining some water from somewhere. And there's many different areas. It could be a cardiac issue. It could be a kidney issue. It could be venous issues, the veins in the extremities. So, yeah, you need to see if you need to be on a water pill, a diuretic pill, and also, in the meantime, compression stockings from the knee down are a good idea. Elevation, where you elevate the feet above the heart, David. And then I would make sure you see your cardiologist and/or primary care to get that looked at.
All right, David, thanks a lot for the call. My oldest daughter from the other side of the state is listening in and said, "This show is so gross. Why do they call it corn? I think that's disgusting. Why do they call it corn?"
You know, that's a very good question.
Is that your homework for the next one? All right, there you go. Another part of the state heard from. Thank you, daughter. Let's go to Palmer, Massachusetts. Keith, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Yeah, I just had questions. How do you get rid of toenail fungus? I've tried the petri oil. It doesn't seem to do anything. I mean, is there any way to get rid of it without having your toenails ripped off?
Hi, Keith. Yes, there are. First of all, you will need to see a podiatrist. And what they would do is they would take some sample of your nail, send it off to a lab, confirm that it's fungus, because a lot of nails that look like fungus aren't always fungus, but they often are. And then there are three remedies we use in our office. We would use antifungal medications that's orally taken. We would use topical prescription antifungals that you put on top of the toenails. And we have laser therapies that we use. Those are the three most common treatments that we would use for that. And it all starts by taking a visit to your podiatrist because, quite frankly, the over-the-counter remedies can work, but they usually do not, Keith. Tea tree oil is one of those that people use. It does have antifungal abilities, but it's not really that great on fungal toenails. So make an appointment and get it checked out. It can be treated.
Very good. Keith, thanks a lot. You know, if you don't mind the color, does the fungus actually do any harm?
No, it doesn't do harm, except if you're diabetic or have neuropathy where you can't feel it and it's thick. It can lead to infections, bacterial infections. In the toenail. It can press down because a fungus nail can get very thick. And the pressure from the shoe, if you're not in an original foot-shaped shoe, it can press on the toe. And then it can cause a bacterial infection, an ingrowing toenail, discomfort. It can be unsightly. There's a lot of social stigma with bad toenails.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah, you should see the reaction my toenails get around the house. They put on some slippers. You know, you've been on the show hundreds of times,
yes.
And I've learned something about the original foot shape.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. Let's go to Vermont. It's Mike's turn. Mike, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Hello, Ray. Hello, doctor. My question surrounds, I play a lot of pickleball. And I started playing a few years ago, and my toe, my middle toe, became, like, painful, black and blue, et cetera. And I changed my shoes to a wider toe box shoe, and it certainly helped. But that little pain in my toe is lingering. I didn't know, perhaps you had some insight on what might be going on there for me.
Yeah, Mike, it's very important to have the right size shoe, and it's really hard to know if you were sized right. We all get larger size shoes as we go through life. The ligaments, you know, people shrink, but the ligaments are not holding your foot, so you often need a larger shoe. Obviously, you're rushing to the pickleball net and stopping short, hitting that toe against the shoe. My guess is that middle toe may be a little bit longer than the other toes and hitting the end of the shoes. I would say make sure is it your toenail that's getting black and blue or the whole toe, Mike?
It was just a toenail. It went on for a few months and kind of went away.
Yeah.
But there's that just a lingering nuisance. I do have more room in my toe box now that I, you know, moved away.
The purpleness in the toes is often some bleeding that happens underneath the nail. Changes color. It's called a subungual hematoma. And I would make sure if you're playing pickleball or tennis or basketball, keep the toenails shorter than you think so it's not hitting the end of the shoe.
Yeah. Can you wear open-toe shoes when you play pickleball?
High heels only.
All right, Mike. Hey, how do you like the pickleballs? How's it working out for you? He's gone. Do we lose our phones? I think he's, I hope he heard the answer. Jeepers creepers. These phones might not work, so you and I are going to have a lot to chat about, Dr. Douglas Tooman. Let's see now. Let's go to Jim from Matamoros. He's usually on the hold. Jim, are you there? No, he's not. Let me ask a question. Hi, this is Jim from Matamoros. I have a question about socks.
Jim, that's a very good question about socks.
Thank you.
They make good stocking stuffers for the holidays.
Right.
So with socks, you know, people who have what we call hyperhidrosis, which is sweating in the feet, cotton is not the best material for that. And in winter, of course, if you want to keep your toes warm, we talked about chilblains, wool would be the best material.
Yeah.
But for sweating feet, it would be more synthetics and socks that wick away moisture from the skin. So socks play an important part.
Are you a fan of compression socks?
I am a fan of compression socks, even for running. And if you don't need them for swelling, like the past caller needed them for swelling. So I love compression socks. And, of course, the only time of the year that I wouldn't say socks are great, even though it's a good time of the year, is holy socks.
Yeah.
This time of the year, you stay away from the holy socks.
All right.
It's called that.
Well, that was interesting. Now, here we go. Here's an email. We'll do a few emails if you're on hold, hang in there, folks. We're going to work out this phone issue. Meantime, we'll go to the email bag. And our buddy John, brilliant guy, he has an answer to the corn question. A foot problem is called a corn because its small, hard, circular shape, especially the central pointed core, resembles a kernel of corn or a barley corn, with the skin thickening in layers to protect against constant pressure or friction from shoes or bones. This protective buildup forms a painful, cone-shaped bump that's like a little pebble under the skin. Hence the name. Now, if John wrote that without the help of any Wikipedia or AI,
sounds like ChatGPT to me.
He should probably sign up and work with you. That was very, very good. John, thank you. Should I try it? Okay, I'm going to give one a try here. Let's go to Sky in Great Barrington. Sky, hello.
Hi, thanks for the show.
You got it.
My family has hereditary webbed toes in our genealogy, and they didn't give me much trouble when I was younger, but now I have lymphedema, and when my feet swell up, it's not pitting edema, when my feet swell up, my big toe crosses over my little toe, and I get really bad calluses there, and they suggested I go to a orthotics clinic that they would take a mold of my toes and my foot and make a divider. Will they be able to do that with the webbed toes? Because I have two joined together on one foot and three joined together on the other foot.
Right, there won't be.
And also, I didn't hear the brand of the shoes you said that were good for a high toe box.
Well, we don't like to give exact endorsements. You're not taking any money from these people, right?
I do not.
All right, so why don't you give a couple good ones, all right?
ALTRA, Ultra, TOPO, Topo. Those are shoes that have a little wider forefoot and often recommended for people that have that issue. But as far as the web toes, I'm not really sure what they're telling you to do and why, Sky. The lymphedema certainly is extremity swelling from a lymphatic issue. The swelling in the toes, an orthotic is not necessarily going to help that issue. So I'm not really sure. I know the compression socks would help with some with lymphedema. There are other lymphedema pumps that can be used. I don't really know if you and your doctor are on the same page.
With the shoe size I have fitting, and as I go through the day, the toes swell up, and then the shoe's too tight, and the big toe goes over the next toe to it.
Yeah, if there's a
so
web toe between the first.
I thinking that would help. My webbed toe on my right foot is the first three toes after the big toe.
It's a little tricky to see if that will work. I'm not sure it'll work, but
if
your doctor or somebody recommended, I would give it a try.
You think it's worth a shot? Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Now, do the webbed toes help you swim? Are you a good swimmer?
Whack, whack, whack.
Okay, fine. Thank you,
surf
Scott.
The internet, though.
You know, seriously, the web toe thing fascinates me.
It's very common, as a matter of fact.
How common?
I see them frequently. It's almost a patient a day that has a couple of toes that are
really?
Slightly webbed. And I would never recommend the surgery to undo the webbing. It's very complicated. It needs skin grafts, and it's not worth
it. So it's a hereditary thing?
Hereditary thing, and just leave them be.
All right. There you go. Someone writes in and says, hey, what can someone do to have more comfort in ski boots if they have wide feet and fallen arches?
They make orthotics for ski boots. We do that with our patients as
well.
You can go to the ski slope, and if there's a good orthotist there, they can do something for you. Our patients will often bring their ski boots to the office, and we'll make a custom insert to help with the fallen arches.
That'd
it helps
darn.
Getting the better get better edging on the skis and support the feet. People get tired, you know, skiing all day and, you know, the edging effect. So orthotics help a lot in ski
boots.
Fair
enough. Let's go. Listen, we missed Jim from Matamoros, and I asked the question about socks. We guessed what it was, but now he's back, so let's find out. Jim, what is it about socks?
Well, there used to be a store up near the Scranton area that sold these socks that were practically indestructible. I just wonder if there's other places around that has that type of sock.
Huh. Interesting.
A lot of winter, you know, ski slope places sell pretty good stuff. I can mention a brand.
You on the take for any of these?
I am not on the take for anything.
Go ahead.
Darn Tough socks are pretty good.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
What about those socks that have the copper infused? Is that good?
People like them. I haven't really tried them, but people say they help their feet.
Will you trip any airport magnetometers with those on?
No, you won't.
No, you sure?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John in Hudson. John, you're on.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, have they shortened the recovery time for a bunion surgery on a big toe?
Good question, John. Yeah, there's new procedures out these days that can offer more minimally invasive bunionectomy corrections for what we call hallux valgus deformity or a bunion deformity. And they can be a little quicker on healing. But every surgery, I've said this before maybe on the show, what's the definition of a minor surgery? Definition of minor surgery when it's on you and not me. So surgery is surgery is surgery. You still have to heal. The The downtime is a little less as far as ambulation, as far as bone healing potentially, but it still takes time to heal, and you still have to respect that.
Are you estimating like a month?
Good question. It depends upon your bunion deformity. We rate them based on the x-rays, and if it's a very severe deformity, it does require a procedure that takes a little more time to heal. But 4 to 6 weeks, you're usually back walking on your feet.
And it'll never come back?
I can't say never. It depends if you're a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
It's more likely. If you're a 60-year-old, less likely.
Just what do you mean? It's less likely to come back because you'll die first? Is that what you mean?
I didn't say that. But in general, the way procedures are performed nowadays, they're designed to prevent recurrences.
Okay. John, you want to follow up?
Well, no, that's still actually a lot longer than I anticipated.
Yeah, this you can be back on your feet in 2 weeks, but you're not playing soccer or doing things like that. So I always err, and most surgeons will err on the conservative side. But yeah, the newer procedures will get you back on your feet quicker, less times with crutches or wheel walkers, you know, things like that.
All right, John, thanks a lot for the call. To Saratoga Springs and Gerard, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I have, I think, what is a ingrown toenail on my big toe, and I'm wondering, you know, I don't know whether a pedicure was a choice or whether a podiatrist is probably a preferred choice, and just wondering what kind of, is it a procedure that they would be able to do that day, or, and then also, what type of recovery time, if any?
Good question, Gerard. Actually, you probably do want to go to a podiatrist for this, especially with an ingrowing toenail. They often become infected, and if yours isn't infected, great. If it is infected, you absolutely need to see a podiatrist. But both cases, you can do the procedure same day. We always do them same day. The way we do them, also, Gerard, and most people do this, it's a one and done, meaning that we don't expect it to ever come back, because we go back to where, like, hair has a follicle, a nail has a matrix, and after we take out the portion of the ingrowing toenail on the side, we put medicine in there to prevent regrowth. And, you know, there's no restrictions afterwards. We do give instructions for soaking. You may have a little discomfort for a day or two or whatever, but it heals pretty well, and same-day procedure in the office is easy to do.
Gerard, follow up.
Okay, great.
Anything?
Thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Port Ewan, New York, and it's Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Well, hello from the Hudson Valley of New York.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good. Great to have you here.
Good. Well, listen, I went to see an orthopedic doctor because I woke up one morning with an awful, awful pain in my right foot, could barely walk. It doesn't last for long. But then it started getting worse. The orthopedist said he thought it sounded like plantar fasciitis and sent me to PT, which I've done. I even bought a sling online to keep my foot in a certain position. It hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten worse. It's still bad when I first wake up. But now in bed at night, I have an awful, awful pain in that foot and a burning that goes on. So I guess I'm looking for some input on that.
Well, hi, Michelle. My first Hudson Valley home was in Port Ewan.
Maybe you two know each other.
And, well, you know, we're right in Kingston. I would say you visit an orthopedist. When you have plantar fasciitis, certainly, in my opinion, and this is the opinion of most, you should see a podiatrist and get some additional type treatment besides PT. It's very rare that we send people to PT, even though PT is wonderful. For plantar fasciitis, we treat it, and we have many successful remedies. And first of all, we have to figure out, do you actually have plantar fasciitis or something different? So I would say if you can get into a podiatrist, and since we're right in your neighborhood, feel free to visit.
All right, Michelle, thank you. Remember, we try not to do that. We're not rustling up business for you. Our guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Let's go down to lovely northern Westchester and talk to Cookie. Cookie, you're on.
Hi there. As a 91-year-old, the padding on the soles of my feet has disappeared. So my lace-up sneakers now hurt underneath when I walk. So what can I do? Should I get inserts? And if so, what are the features of the inserts I should get? And also, so my second question is, and I also need new sneakers. And once again, what kind of sneakers should I buy? What features should I get? And I would like to ask you what brands, but I heard you can't give
if
brands.
If he gives you two or three, I feel more comfortable about it.
Yes. So, Cookie, first of all, you sound wonderful.
Great. Thank you.
You sound wonderful at 91, and we want to keep you walking. Movement is the key to life and longevity. So, yes, you're absolutely right. The skin on the bottom of the feet can atrophy in the balls of your feet, the padding, like tires on a car. So you want to wear shoes in the house, and you want to wear good shoes when you go outside of the house for your walks. And you want to get inserts as well. So I would recommend either over-the-counter inserts that have a lot of cushioning in them, or go visit a podiatrist wherever you are living, and they can make you special inserts, so they can sometimes have them in their office, prefabricated ones with a lot of cushioning on the inside, and different brands. I love running sneakers. Running sneakers have more shock absorption for the runners. They're also good for walkers and just general walking. Some popular brands can be Hoka, H-O-K-A, Brooks, Asics, A-S-I-C-S, Ultra. They're all really good. So I always recommend running shoes for my patients who have pain in the bottoms of the feet, and inserts, whether they're prefabricated or custom designed, and also wear shoes in the house, because we can help you.
Yeah, well, I do wear sneakers in the house. With what when I look at the inserts at the drugstore, which features of the inserts? There are so many of them, styles.
Ones that say shock absorption, and they could have gel in them, or they could have just different materials. They should be kind of thick, not very thin.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Cookie, we're overdue for a break, but thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Fit. It's Fit Feet with Dr. Douglas Tooman. Oh, boy. I'm ready for retirement. Yeah, let's take a break. Yes, sir. Kristen McBride under the cedar tree here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Or is the shade of the cedar tree, Zach? What is it? I had the title wrong. What's the title of that? Shade of the cedar tree, I think. Okay. It's Vox Pop. It's Medical Monday. It's not a music show, but I do get wrapped up in the music. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us today. It's all about feet. Cheryl writes in, I was recently diagnosed with a hammer toe. It's not really bad, but of course I don't want it to get worse. A therapist told me if I stretch the toe out several times a day, it'll eventually straighten out and go away. I do have occasional cramping under my foot near that toe area, and it feels good to stretch it. I'm not noticing much difference, but I just started doing this. I'm skeptical. I don't have any pain, but the top of the toe sometimes rubs a shoe and becomes red. So my question is, will stretching the affected toe whenever I can actually help, or is it a lost cause only to worsen with time and age? I'm already in my late 70s. Thanks and happy new year. That's from Cheryl.
Cheryl, thanks for the email. It's like chicken soup. It couldn't hurt. How much is it going to help? It's not going to help that much. But if you want to stretch it, stretching is always great. So stretch away. Not going to harm anything. Wider shoes, that's your best bet. And if it gets painful, we can always fix it. But not much more you can do.
Here's one from Mary in, I don't know where. Sciatic pain on the top of the foot. Could you discuss that?
Sciatic pain comes from the buttocks area, so it's hard to know what you're talking about. But there is nerve pain that you can get on top of the foot related to trauma or shoes that are tight. So I'm not really sure about that, Mary.
If it is in fact sciatica, then I suggest, Mary, that you try this question tomorrow with physical therapist Matthew Goodemote, who's going to be on the program.
Good idea.
I do know that I think sciatica is often overdiagnosed. People think they have it, and it's really something else.
But it's painful.
Right, you are.
It's very painful.
Francis writes in, I'm a 64-year-old male, relatively healthy, still working. A few years ago, I went to my primary care doc for a big black spot under my big toenail, about 50% of the toenail. Diagnosed as a fungal infection, treated with antifungal cream. Treatment was ineffective. It's physically benign personally, but should I see a podiatrist to attempt effective treatment, or can I just live with it without consequence? Before he answers, Fran, remember you're asking a podiatrist. So if you say, should I see a podiatrist, I'm going to bet the answer is yes. Toenail is thick and brittle and striated more than the opposite toenail.
Yeah, so Francis, you can see a podiatrist or you can live with it as long as you've had it diagnosed as not a serious condition. Whenever something black under the toenail, you want to make sure it's fungal and not anything like a melanoma, which is very rare in the toenail.
Yeah.
So that's why we always recommend you get it cultured or looked at or biopsied. But in general, there are more effective treatments than the topical antifungals, which would be either oral antifungals and laser therapy. So those are options for you as well, Francis.
Yeah, just two more emails. We have so many emails and so many calls. Got to get back to the calls. Here's another email. This is from Anonymous. I have had a plantar wart on the bottom right foot pad on the ball of the toe for over a decade. I have seen a podiatrist who will shave it down. I tried every home remedy, over-the-counter remedy you can think of, and still it continues to very slowly grow. It causes me to walk irregularly. That causes me to have back pain. How do I resolve it?
This is an important question because a lot of things are misdiagnosed as warts, even though you've been told that for many years. If it's in the ball of your foot under a metatarsal, it can be what we call an IPK, which stands for intractable plantar keratosis, which is a type of callus or deep-seated corn that forms that looks like a wart.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to have a strong differential diagnosis and treat it in different ways as well. So get another opinion.
All right. Mike in Cambridge, this will be the last email for now. Every winter, my toes get very cold easily. Don't seem to matter what kind of sock or shoes I wear. The slightest cold temperature sets off my toes, and they actually turn purple, and it's very hard to walk on. I can't even take the weight of a blanket on them. The only thing that seems to help is warm water massager with Epsom salts. Not sure what this is or how to stop it. I do have coronary heart disease, 8 stents. Could that be the cause?
It can be. And we also talked on top of the show if you were on early on, which well, you want to get it early. You want to get it early. Chilblains, Raynaud's is something that happens in the winter to so many people up here in the Northeast and other places that are cold. And you want to get that checked to see if it's peripheral vascular disease, which is different than chilblains. And there are different strategies for chilblains, including heated insoles. In addition to the warm soaks, we use topical medicines with something called nifedipine and pentoxifilin, different medications that you can utilize to vasodilate the things, the toes.
Heated insoles, man? Where do the batteries go? Do you plug it in?
They're rechargeable, yeah. They get plugged in. And
but where are the batteries? In the heel of the shoe?
Right in the insert. So the,
don't you feel the battery?
No, because it comes out. It's just charged. It's like one of those things that you know, you put in there and you have a nice insert. You don't feel the battery. You just feel the heat.
That is fascinating.
It's built in.
All right. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today. Yeah, he's teaching us many things. Maxine's in Beckett. Hello, Maxine.
Hello. Thanks for the call. This is a repeat of a call earlier from the gentleman about an ingrown toenail on the big toe and the recommendation that it be cut down to the roots. I have had that procedure on the other toe, and the pain of the injections of the anesthetic was the worst thing I've ever experienced. I would rather have, you know, root canal without Novocaine and go through that again. So my question is, are podiatrists able by license, that's part A, and part B is, will they add to that or before that any kind of anesthesia, either propofol or an IV Valium drip or something?
Okay.
So that I don't live through getting my toe jabbed again.
First of all, Maxine, I just want to let all our listeners know that we do these procedures multiple every day, and most of the patients say, I didn't feel the injection. We have different techniques we use with cold sprays and freezings and different types of anesthetics. So your experience is unusual. I'm wondering if you had it done in an emergency room or a physician's office besides a podiatrist.
No, it was in a podiatrist.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
It really shouldn't be that painful.
I guess soon to be an expediter.
All right, now let's not say the name of the practice, Maxine. All right.
So
I won't.
But that's unusual. So, yeah, podiatrists will not do that in their office as far as giving you. They might prescribe a Valium if somebody drives into the office, but they're not giving IVs like
really?
A propofol. That will be done in a hospital, and we're not admitting patients for an ingrowing toenail in the hospital. That's kind of unusual.
All right, Maxine.
Simple in-office procedures. Try it again with a different group.
Good luck, Maxine. Yeah, I had one ingrown toenail, and didn't feel a thing.
Correct.
And I also asked for a Valium drip, but they said, what's that? I mean, it was a podiatrist. Let's go to Glenda in Catskill. Glenda, you're on.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Certainly.
Good. Okay. So I have some pressure in my feet. It started, I guess, last spring, and sometimes a little tingling and a little, I don't know if you call it numbness, but it's not bothering me that much, so I haven't really done anything about it, but it's something new I've not had before. And people have told me, well, that sounds like neuropathy. So I guess I just want to know, what's neuropathy and what do you do about it? Do you treat that? I guess that's my question.
Yes, Glenda. You know, it's hard to know that you have neuropathy without diagnosis. I'm not sure the age or if you have diabetes or anything along those lines or back issues, but just a little bit of numbness. It could be neuropathy. It could be anything else as well. And again, it's hard to really diagnose. Mm-hmm. You really should see either your primary care physician or a podiatrist to have it more examined and evaluated to determine if it's anything that will be progressive. Likely not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Glenda. Let's go to Sue in Lenox, Massachusetts. Sue, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon. For the past several weeks, I've had terrible pain in the bottom of my heel of my foot. And it radiates from my heel to, like, the middle of my arch of my foot. What would you say that could be?
Well, Sue, thanks for calling in. That's a very common issue. Most likely, it's plantar fasciitis, which starts as heel pain, usually in the morning getting out of bed or anytime you sit and get back up. Those are some of the hallmarks, pain in the heel area that can radiate to the arch as well. If it's radiating, that could be just along the course of the fascia, or it could be a little nerve irritation as well. But it is something that I would get looked at. You've had it for a few weeks, and there's no reason to suffer. It can last a long time, but it's easy to treat in many cases. So I'd go into a good podiatrist's office and get an x-ray and evaluation and have it treated so you can get rid of your pain. Where in the meantime, home
like
care.
When I'm stepping down on a stair or stepping down on my foot is when it really bothers me.
It's inflamed. There can be an inflamed bursal sac in there. Right now, I would ice it. I would put shoes on in the house and do some gentle stretching of your feet. But I would make an appointment with a good podiatrist in your neck of the woods.
All right, Sue. Thanks a lot. Now, plantar fasciitis, will that go away on its own if you just leave it be? I mean, sort of went away.
Yeah. People can get plantar fasciitis, it goes away. But then again, I've had patients, they come in after a year and a half.
Really?
And it hasn't gone away. So you roll in the dice.
Right.
But there are things you can do. The stretching, the night splints, the straps, the supports, icing, anti-inflammatories.
I'm amazed how fast it went away. When I had it for a long period of time. But by an hour into the morning, I didn't feel it at all.
You got a lot of people praying for you.
Yeah, there you go. Abigail has happy feet. Abigail, how are you?
Oh, man, thank you so much. the vibes are great.
Thank you.
I have no problems. I have Queen Elizabeth feet.
nine toes? What is that? What does that mean?
What? I don't know. She had a beautiful face. She had beautiful feet. I don't know what her feet looked like. I never knew her socially. But anyway, thanks for the show. I love Vox Pop.
Well, thank
you,
Abigail.
You're doing a great job.
Well, you know what?
Abiento.
A tout à l'heure.
Queen Elizabeth QE2 for the 2 feet.
Right, like Anne Boleyn. She had, 17 fingers or whatever? It's all in the family. Gaynor in Cornwall, Connecticut. You're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, more or less. How are you?
I'm well. I just wanted to thank you. The show's wonderful, and thanks to you, Dr. Tooman. Feet are so important.
Yes.
I was a dancer at one time, and I cherish my feet, even though they're triple E width. I now know, since I broke an ankle and got good advice, to get proper shoes. things are better. But I had a metatarsal arch fall. And I love my podiatrist. He basically said there was a lot of pressure being pushed down on a ganglion right there. And that surgery could be possible, but often left scar tissue. So the problem would not be fully solved. I went to a massage therapist, physical therapist, who recommended a device called Yoga Toes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silicone arch that it looks something like what you would get in a pedicure to spread the toes, but it's arched, it's silicone, it's a family business, it's made in America, and it cured my problem.
You heard about this, doctor.
It cured my problem.
Sure, it's a nice thing, and the only people that can't use it are people with the webbed toes. Other than that,
oh, really?
Yoga toes.
Yoga
toes. There's a number of different. The one I feel that it's twinging back, I'll put them on for a night or two.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned this, which I had the type of, not corn exactly, but the wart, the plantar wart.
Yes.
One of those also disappeared after years.
I'll be darned.
So
good for you, Gloria, getting off your.
That was about, I don't know.
Huh.
But definitely to help lift that arch.
Well, thank you.
You're like a fine wine. You're getting better with age.
Without using it,
and
then I'll use it for a day or two if I feel it. Things need a little bit of an uplift.
Nice.
So, I don't have any business with the company.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Otherwise, we're all going to be shut down in a few moments. Gaynor, thanks a lot for the call. All right. This email from Lynn. Speaking of yoga, I've been diagnosed with hallux rigidus, and it impacts every aspect of my life. I'm 60. Lifelong runner, still do so painfully. I can no longer run without changing my gait and without experiencing pain with every step. Even very low impact activities like plank pose in yoga are impossible. My balance is off because of the constant swollen joint, and it's really depressing to accept that even walking and yoga are no longer available. Suggestions.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're going through this. Hallux rigidus. Hallux is a Latin term for big toe. Rigidus is basically the fact that it's arthritic inside the toe. It's not moving. And if you've been to a podiatrist, there's going to be a series of things that might be done, ultimately leading to surgery. But a corticosteroid injection, topical anti-inflammatories, sometimes orthotic inserts. But the surgery is very successful for a very painful long-term hallux rigidus, and that procedure is called a fusion. It will not affect your walking. You'll be able to do activities pain-free afterwards. It's very effective, and you don't have to suffer. It is a sacrifice to fix it, but what you're going through as an active individual is worthwhile to consider that.
Turn my mic back on. Dr. Douglas Tooman, one more call, and then we'll be out of here. Let's go to Tara in Kingston. Tara, you're on. 1 minute.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I am
Tara. I can't hear you. I can't hear you at all. It sounds like you're a robot. And then well, the subject was dance teacher who has foot problems. Can you still hear me, Tara? Oh boy. All right, we lost Tara. What do you do with dance teachers who have foot problems, Dr. Tooman? You have 20 seconds.
We put them into good shoes and orthotics, and give them some exercises and. Just advice and figure out what's causing the pain.
I wish we knew more about what was causing the pain. But all right, Dr. Douglas Tooman, I don't have any time to ask you any more cogent questions. So how do people find you on the web?
Hudson Valley Foot Associates, HVFA.com.
Okay.
Many offices. Happy to help.
Dude, thanks a lot for being here. I know we have you booked for next year, so I wish you a very happy... Are you doing anything for New Year's?
I'm going to be with friends and family and having a lot of fun.
Good. Are you still running?
Absolutely, almost every day.
All right, fair enough. Well, listen, we're done now, and so you're free to go. Support comes from Grist Mill Real Estate, Saugerties, women-owned independent agency offering personalized service, specializing in homes in the Hudson Valley and beyond, celebrating over 50 years. GristMillRealEstate.com. Thanks again to Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for all the calls. I'm sorry we had so many emails and calls. There was no way we were going to get this through. That's how popular Douglas Tooman really is. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phone screened by Bob Rathbun. Thanks, Bob. Great job as always. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Physical Therapy with Matthew Goodemote. You got the sciatica and whatnot? That's when you call. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.